Sup, freaks. This rip of RHR was brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. They produce the Cold Card Q, my favorite hardware wallet. It's got two secure enclaves. It's got a full screen, full keyboard here. As you can see, if you're watching, if you can't watch, just imagine something that looks like a BlackBerry. It allows you to create private public key pairs offline in an AirGAT fashion. You never have to connect the Cold Card Q to an internet device. You can sign transactions and PSBTs remotely in the most secure fashion. If you're a Bitcoin Power user and you're looking for the best security, go pick up a Cold Card Q and go to coinkite.com. Find the Cold Card Q there. I think you can go to coldcard.com as well. Use the code RHR for 5% off. Step up your security. Get a Cold Card Q. It was also brought to you by our good friends at Stackwork. If you're looking for a great way to make KYC-free sats, Stackwork has bounties. Go to stackwork.ai, find their bounties page, and contribute to the bounties. You can make Bitcoin KYC-free for completing the bounties. If you're a developer looking to scoop up some easy sats, go check out the bounties, contribute to them, and stack some sats. Stackwork.ai.
What's up, freaks? This rip was brought to you by our good friends at Obscura. Obscura is the first VPN that can't log your activity by design. Instead of empty promises, Obscura fully embraces the Bitcoin or don't trust, verify mantra. They can't log your traffic, even if they tried. Obscura believes that user data is toxic waste. In addition to private payments via Lightning, you can sign up with an account without having to give any personal identifying information. It's a beautiful thing. It's the VPN I use every day. It's incredibly fast. You can go on streaming sites with it. They don't say, hey, you've got a VPN. It just works. Go to obscura.net. Use the code RHR25 for 25% off an annual subscription. This is an incredible deal. Obscura.net, RHR25 for 25% off an annual subscription.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Hey, guys. Early morning rip. We wanted to get it out of the way because this is the last one. Bitcoin's dying. It's dying right in front of us.
The last rabbit hole recap ever.
It's the rest in peace rip. It's been fun.
Do you know what the title of today's rip is, Marty?
No, I have no idea.
Stay humble, stack gold.
Hey. Are we coming? We're a gold podcast now.
We got to continue, right? Like, if Bitcoin's going to die, we got to pivot.
I mean, we're hard money. Sovereign from the state. Monetarist, you know? So I guess gold's the next best thing.
I like how Logan completely faded this time, even though Squawk Box is one of the most popular financial podcasts in the world and airs at this time every fucking day.
Yeah. We're competing with Uncle Joe Kernan right now. Everybody's watching Squawk Box. Come over here.
They're going to be so confused why their numbers are down today.
We're taking them out. Joe will be our third member, our third host in a few weeks. But in all seriousness, Matt is drinking a beer. We've been talking about it. He's in Switzerland for the Plan B conference. Speaking of conferences, I had parent teacher conferences this morning, and so we had to do a 7:30 a.m. Eastern rip.
Yeah, I'm in Switzerland for Tether's annual event in Lugano. I think there's zero list because I'm fucking jet lagged and exhausted, and Marty's also exhausted. So we're just going to be riffing today. But I think we can start it off with the fact that Tether made their first commitment to OpenSats, $250,000 for free and open source devs. As always with OpenSats, that's 100% pass-through. It's already in Bitcoin, in our multi-sig. And 100% of it will go to open source developers. So I'm incredibly grateful for their support. And I hope it's the beginning of a long relationship in terms of them supporting the open source ecosystem that we all very much rely on. If you want to join Tether in this endeavor, you can go to opensats.org/donate. We recently added monthly credit card donations. So you can just set and forget $20, $50 a month. We'll auto stack that into Bitcoin for devs. If you want to see less corporate pressure on developers, the way we do that is having 50,000 plebs all give $20 a month in Bitcoin to developers. Then I can stop flying around the world for free, trying to get people to, for when I say for free, like I don't get paid. I spend a lot of money doing it. Try and get donations for open source developers.
Congrats, Tether coming in.
Thank you.
Are you ready for the Tether conspiracy theories if they haven't started already?
Dude, it's all the conspiracy theories. Bring them my way. It just means we got more funding for open source developers, the more conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
It's
this donation caught the eye of another billionaire, Jack Dorsey, friend of the show. He was curious why only 250K.
Look,
I'm not putting you on the spot.
I mean, you literally just put me on the spot. I saw that along with everyone else. The only difference is I probably got it in a million different private messages, screenshots of it, while other people probably saw it on Twitter. Look, I'm glad that there's multiple billionaires around the world excited about supporting open source development. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see who comes out on top. The more, the merrier.
Yeah, pit them against each other.
And to be clear, some people, I thought someone asked Jack, like, how much did he donate? Well, he donated $31 million. So that's public information. He actually does a really good job with his nonprofit arm, Start Small, where there's literally like an Excel document that lists how much he's donated to which organizations, all public information. And what was nice about that donation is it was stacked to Bitcoin to our multi-sig. So it's the gift that keeps giving. That was like around $40,000 Bitcoin. So just that was all rolled into Bitcoin multi-sig for the devs.
Bitcoin 40,000.
To the people.
Seems like forever ago.
Yeah, go on. Look, and to the people that maybe question how, who OpenSats is funding, it's literally all public. You can go to opensats.org/transparency. We list every grant we've ever given, over 300 grants. I think we're at 328 or something. 328 grants. They have to send us, quarterly reports that we review to make sure that whatever they said they're going to do, they're doing. Not a single one has worked on changing Bitcoin, soft forks or anything like that. We have a soft policy just not to fund that. We do support some core developers, but it's definitely a smaller subset of the greater ecosystem that we support. If you have a favorite open source wallet, we're probably supporting it. If you have a favorite Nostr client, we're probably supporting it. A lot of the security fixes, bug testing, vulnerability testing, stuff like that, we're supporting. BTC Pay Server, we're the largest supporter of. All public information. Me and the rest of the volunteer board are very dedicated to making Bitcoin the best money in the world. We already believe it's the best money in the world. We think it can be even more robust and better for everybody. And we're mission focused on that. So if you're aligned with that mission, consider supporting us in any way you can. It really does go a long way.
It really does. You guys are doing an incredible job. And
thank you, sir.
Shout out to Tether and Paolo. I was being pedantic there by pulling up the Jack tweet, but it's just great to see.
Paolo. Yeah, I mean, no one should be giving them shit about this. I'm very grateful for the support. I think more companies should support. And it's been a long grind. There's very few that will. And I will say that Tether just was like immediately 100% we're in. Let's do it. There was no back and forth. I was like, we could really use your support. They asked, where's a good place to start? I said, 250 is a great place to start. They said, yes. Boom, done. Ship press release. Send us the Bitcoin. Done. Easy peasy. No strings attached. I'll tell people to go fuck themselves before they can ever attach strings to donations. I think my track record proves for itself on that. I mean, and there's a long list of sponsors that are no longer sponsors anymore.
Well, speaking of donations, going off the tip of the tongue here, since we don't have a list, I think a natural progression into the next topic would be a free and open source project that we supported at 1031, that you've supported OpenSats, and others like HRF have supported. It looks like there was a hackathon. Was it a BTC Plus or a TabConf? I believe it was TabConf. There was a hackathon.
I think it was BTC Plus Plus.
TabConf's going on right now. So it was BTC Plus Plus.
Yeah. Because I saw Nifty take partial credit for it.
Yeah, I think it was Callie and Adam Soltis. They did the hackathon. And
there was another guy that's only on Noster. Low Profile, I think, is his name.
Okay, Low Profile. I saw Adam Soltis in one of the demos, so maybe that's why I assumed it was him. But Callie, Low Profile, many others, maybe others, did a hackathon to implement Cashew into Signal. And there's been a growing campaign over the last few days to convince the Signal Foundation. I've seen Meredith Whitaker get tagged in a lot of tweets to implement Bitcoin.
Did she respond though?
I haven't seen her respond yet. But the idea is that you'd put a Cashew wallet or a eCash wallet within Signal to align private communications with private money. This seems like a great alignment. For those who are unaware, the Signal Foundation launched a shitcoin, I believe, in 2021 called Mobile Coin. It didn't really go anywhere.
Wait. They didn't launch the shitcoin. The founder of Signal, Moxie, launched the shitcoin. And then Signal integrated the shitcoin.
Okay.
Slight.
Loose separation there between the founder of Signal.
And then they kicked him out. So let's be a little bit easy on Signal in that regard.
Yes. But from what I can tell, talking to some people working on this eCash stuff, it seems like Signal's a bit averse. They're reputationally aware of the fuck up that Mobile Coin was, and they've been sort of apprehensive to add cryptocurrencies or a digital wallet to the app after the Mobile Coin debacle. But hey, time heals all wounds. You need good products to implement into Signal that align with the private communication. We've been talking about it for years, and we're very bullish on eCash mints, particularly both the protocols, Fedi Mint and Cashew. It seems like Cashew is having rapid development, though. And I don't know, this looks really clean. I didn't realize that, like, they would have like a full website, like propaganda website, and the UI of this implementation looks incredibly sleek.
Well, the website's great. What is it, signalforbitcoin.com or .org?
Maybe Bitcoin for Signal.
No, it's Signal for Bitcoin. I think it's .org. Or is it Bitcoin for Signal? Am I wrong?
I think it's Bitcoin for Signal. Let me find.
Bitcoinforsignal.org. Yeah, that's what it is. Bitcoinforsignal.org. Great domain name. I think Cashew could be a really good fit here. I think Bitcoin and Signal needs to happen. I think there's a question if it should be Cashew or if it should be maybe Spark or Arc or something like that. I think, you know, Signal is the gold standard for a successful freedom tech project. They have about 100 million users. For comparison's sake, against who, like the slave techs that they're competing against, WhatsApp has like 3 to 5 billion users. So there's a very small subset of that. But if you look at any freedom tech project, having 100 million users is an absolute massive success. And growing. So the question is, if you throw them into like a custodial Cashew mint type of situation, there's some friction there. Which mint do they choose? You know, so far, all the successful Cashew projects, and I love Cashew, have been basically using mini bits. It's like the quiet secret is just like, just choose mini bits as your mint. So we don't have any large established mints, so it might be a little bit premature. I think in an ideal situation, actually Signal is running their own mint. But maybe they don't want the heat of running a private Bitcoin service, which I respect and I understand that. So in that situation, maybe like an Arc or a Spark makes more sense. Or even like a Phoenix wallet type setup. I think Phoenix has interesting setup. I actually recently was testing out Bull Bitcoin. They released their new self-custody wallet. Me and Francis are going to rip for Dispatch in person in Lugano, which I'm pretty excited about. So I was testing out ahead of that. And they use Liquid on the back end. So at rest, everything stays in Liquid. And then you do bolt swaps to pay and receive on Lightning or on chain. And the wallet handles the UX really well, right? Like if it's an on-chain address or if it's a Lightning invoice, it just automatically does the swap. The user kind of doesn't even realize it's happening. Maybe that makes sense. There's a bunch of different ways they can go. I do like that the domain is specifically Bitcoin for Signal. I would like to see Bitcoin and Signal. I don't know necessarily if Cashew is the best option for it. Cashew is easy to work with. It's lightweight. But it comes with the trade-off that users have to choose mints and someone has to run the mint. Right?
Someone has to run the mint. Who will run the mints?
Who will build the roads? The nice thing about using Cashew is it means that Signal can also add gold sending, which is important for the longevity of this podcast. If Signal is allowing people to send gold between each other, we can just have a mint that holds bars of gold. And then they can just use the Cashew protocol to send them on Signal between each other. So we have that going for us.
Egrams of gold.
Yeah, there you go. That's what can
happen. Look, and pull up, while you brought up Bull Bitcoin, I thought this was really cool. I mean, Francis is really working on this. I saw him earlier this year, and he was demoing the wallet to me. It seems like they made a lot of progress, but he tweeted this out. And basically to combat the FUD that, no, oh, Bitcoin's not private, nobody uses it. And he sent this tweet out earlier this week. I bought coffee with Bull Wallet. How much should I pay? Tell me anything about merchant identity, other clients, wallet info, transaction history. Where's the money now? Where did it get these coins from? What's my balance? What's my cost basis? Who has the KYC info? And if you go to mempool.space on their Liquid Explorer, you see here that these are confidential transactions. And I think it's a really creative way to bring privacy to Bitcoin and an underappreciated way to do it via Liquid.
Yeah, you have you get with Liquid swaps, you get a decent amount of privacy just embedded in it. Not as good as Cashew, but very good privacy. I was talking to one of the activists at the Global Bitcoin Summit last week that we hosted at Bitcoin Park in Nashville. And they use Liquid to send to their people on, they use Aqua Wallet, which also uses Liquid swaps to send to Bitcoin to people on the ground. And it gives them a decent level of plausible deniability and privacy while having really good UX. I will say for the last decade, there's been multiple false starts where like I get super hyped on Liquid and then like never happens, but maybe this time is different. It feels like this time is different.
This is the most optimistic I've ever seen you about Liquid.
On Liquid? Yeah. No, yeah. Dude, there's plenty of times. If you go back in Dispatch history, there's like whole episodes where I'm like, this is the moment. We're doing it. Like Liquid's going to happen. So just like a quick primer on Liquid for the peeps. It was led by Blockstream. It's a federated sidechain. So you can think of it like a multi-sig, a big multi-sig run by corporations. I think the only individual that's involved is Wiz. So there is some trust. There's a trust set up there. Like you can't permissionlessly get out of Liquid. You have to rely on swaps. But it is denominated in Bitcoin and you get confidential transactions. So you get a decent amount of privacy. So you can imagine it looks just like if you go to liquid.network, it looks like the regular Bitcoin Block Explorer, except that you can't see amounts. And when you can't see amounts, it really starts to add significant privacy to the probability analysis that's used to transact to track transactions, which is awesome. So the way Bull Bitcoin Wallet is doing it, and I see, you can go to wallet.bullbitcoin.com. It's available on iPhone and Android. It just works really well. The from a user point of view, the biggest trade-off is you basically can't receive and send transactions under 1,000 sats, because you have to do the swap, and between the liquid fee and the swap fee, it just eats it up. So the wallet won't let you do that. That's the big trade-off. That's a dollar. So if you're doing a transaction over a dollar, it works really well. Yeah.
That's good UX too. Just like not let people do that. So they don't.
No, and it's cool too. Like how they show it in the wallet is, so like you have one seed phrase that stores both, or you can do a cloud backup, and then you have a secure Bitcoin wallet, and then you have an instant payments wallet. The secure Bitcoin is on chain, so you can swap to on chain when you have a large amount and you don't want to be stuck in liquid. And then the instant payments is doing liquid with Lightning swaps. And I think that's just a good way for people to think about it. It's like, okay, I got my instant payments and I got my secure payments, my secure savings. This is something that Zeus has been doing with Cashew, right? Where they have self-custody Lightning coupled with the Cashew wallet, and the Cashew wallet is for smaller amounts. But just that framing. And so, by the way, for the Signal too, like I think that could be interesting, right? Where you use Cashew for small amounts and then you use on-chain, you build in an on-chain wallet at the same time. I like the combination, right? Where you have the instant payments and secure Bitcoin. And I think that's how we should frame it, because young people have no idea what the difference between a checking and savings account is. So that metaphor falls flat. But secure versus instant makes sense to me.
Yeah. And I like that verbiage better than sending Lightning on Bitcoin or sending on-chain Bitcoin. Just make it secure, instant. And if you go to the wallet.bullbitcoin.com website, looks like on their sort of demo UI, they have Cold Card Q Watch Signer. So it looks like you can load up a hardware wallet XPub and use it as a signer.
Yeah. So their wallet works even better if you're in a country that supports Bull Bitcoin, because you can set it to automatically send your stacking, your DCA can automatically send to your wallet, and then can automatically, once it hits a certain amount, switch to Cold Card, which is why they have that feature. So like you can just be constantly getting these liquid payments, and then once it hits a certain threshold, it just automatically goes to cold storage, all self-custody, which is pretty dope UX. It's like, it's the Valhalla of UX. Bull Bitcoin is not available in the US yet. Most of our listeners are in the US. I'm a proud American, so I've never been able to use it, but that's pretty cool. I think that's a cool feature.
Yeah, it really is. Shout out to Francis and the team. We've said it many times throughout the years on this podcast. Underappreciated, grinding for well over a decade now at this point. Getting everything.
You know what I didn't realize? Francis posted a bit of history that I never knew, which was Bull Bitcoin was originally called Bitcoin Outlet, and they had like the most basic WordPress branding, and then Madex switched them to Bull Bitcoin and gave them the best branding in the space. I knew Madex was like heavily involved in the branding aspect, but I didn't realize how bad it was before he joined. So also a huge shout out to Madex, madex.art. Check them out. Great way to switch to a gold standard from a Bitcoin standard. He's best got artist in the space.
Medallion if you need them.
Yeah.
Shout out to everybody. I'm trying to think of like on the Bitcoin side, what happened this week? Obviously, the price is crashing.
So we had the great apocalypse the day after last RHR. Do you have any thoughts on the great apocalypse? The insane flash crash where all the shitcoiners got liquidated.
Some insiders made a lot of money. I mean, I think this goes back to, I saw a thread. I don't know if it was ever confirmed, but it seems plausible enough. So back up almost exactly 7 days ago, minus 6 hours or whatever.
Price. They waited till RHR ended.
Yeah, they did. Price was around 117, 118. Fell swiftly to 108,000. Currently sitting at 105,604. So I think we're still feeling ramifications of this. But Donald Trump came out. China's not cooperating. 100% tariffs on the rare earth metals. We don't like the way Xi's positioning. Markets absolutely tank, and Bitcoin and broader crypto markets tanked the hardest. I believe, what was it, $19.5 billion?
Well, he waited till after the market closed on Friday, so we were the only thing traded.
Yes. No, I thought it was no, this started at like 9:30.
No, it was post market close on Friday.
Was it post?
Check his Truth Social. Yeah, scroll through all the ads they added to Truth Social and check. But it was right after markets closed on Friday. We were the only things trading.
We were so maybe why we fell so hard. But there were some trades positioned earlier in the morning. That's what I'm referencing. People put on heavy shorts in the morning. The price started falling a little bit throughout the day.
Yeah, and some of the DEXs where we could see the trades, right? Like the centralized exchanges, you can't see the trades, but I guess the big one is Hyperliquid. Is that on like Solana or some shit? But it's a DEX and you can see the trades, and someone took a huge fucking short like 30 minutes before the Truth Social post went out.
Yeah. He's listening. Shout out to Ed, who's at the Canadian Bitcoin conference right now. He's saying markets were open.
What time was it?
Ed, what time was it? And he also says we cannot be live at the same time as Becky Quick. We can't take her views. But Becky.
If Becky supports open stats, we won't do it again.
Becky Quick.
What time was it? If it was a half an hour before it closed, then it's just semantics.
It's around 10 or 11 a.m. I knew it was in the
morning. I don't think so. Okay, I'm going to check.
You check.
I don't even know. I have to like check his actual fucking website, right? Because I can't like search like when did Donald Trump tank the market?
I don't know. Regardless of when it happened,
I could check the Bitcoin price.
Bitcoin crypto trades 24/7, 365. The effects of that tariff post were felt very acutely in the Bitcoin and in broader crypto markets, more acutely in the crypto markets. Reportedly, $19.5 billion of leverage longs were taken out.
It was probably more than that.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So reportedly, $19.5 billion was the number that people were.
You see Boomtown in the YouTube chat. The announcement of 100% tariffs on China was 4 p.m. Eastern time. His post, he had a post about China a little bit. He had earlier than that in the day, but the 100% tariffs was the one that really dropped us off the cliff. Like all the cross liquidations and shit happened. That's 4 p.m. Eastern time. That's literally close the market.
Yeah, 4. Yeah. So crypto markets fell. $19.5 billion publicly stated, but many are surmising that it was much bigger than that. Yeah. Binance's API went down. They were offline for 30 minutes. Coinbase was offline.
33 minutes.
And just chaos. Highlighted a few things. Number one, if you're going to make an announcement right at market close, what markets can you trade? Bitcoin and crypto, they're going to react first. Number two, shit coins are completely illiquid, being propped up by, for lack of a better term, insiders trying to basically position these things as legitimate when in reality their liquidity is extremely thin. And we saw that on Friday. I believe some of them were down 80 to 90% within minutes. Many people got completely wiped out. I believe there was a stat out there, more than 1 million people trading on Hyperliquid and other DEXs like that got completely wiped out. But Matt's shaking his head.
Bullish that there's a million people trading on Hyperliquid. I don't think there's that many people, but okay.
Many people. They're saying many people.
So I guess a lot of people had like cross margin, right? Where they were like, they got liquid, like the shit coins went to zero. They like scam wicked to zero. And then like their Bitcoin and ETH positions got liquidated because like that was part of their margin for the other. Like you should just stay on Bullstack Sats. Like if you were just holding self-custody Bitcoin, it was a 10% drop, 15% drop to prices we're seeing today. And I would say I'm not surprised we're seeing the prices we're seeing today because a lot of people got absolutely wrecked. And the last thing they had left was Bitcoin that was self-custodied, right? So now they're selling their liquid asset. Now they're trying to cover the hole that they had. And so, of course, we're getting driven lower on that. It is what it is. You know, we like degens use Bitcoin as a store of value as well. So when they need liquidity, they sell Bitcoin because everything else is worthless and they can't sell it.
Yeah. So we're down on 105, approaching 106 right now.
Oh, nice. We got a corner in the chat, in the YouTube chat. Hyperliquid is a custom L2. It's not on Solana, whatever the fuck that means. I don't know. But it's the most popular DEX right now, I think. I keep seeing people talk about it.
Yeah. And Trading Tool Crypto saying unified trading account on Binance were forced liquidated because of USDE Oracle pricing. Yes, there's some problem with Binance's Oracle. They've come out since and they've issued, how would you call this? What would you call it? They've issued
reparations.
Reparations to the traders on their platform.
Literally at first nothing.
They said there was no problem. Then people are like, there was obviously a problem. They're like, okay, here's
$300 in reparations. Did you see the one DeFi protocol was giving people like $5 KFC gift cards?
I did not see that.
I forget what the name of the protocol was, but like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you lose your life savings. Well, first of all, like, it's kind of your fault that you lost your life savings. But then you give them a $5 KFC gift card. It's like the biggest slap in the face. Binance, I mean, on the Bitcoin side, I think what was relevant is LN Markets apparently is very heavily dependent on Binance. So LN Markets was down for 33 minutes. And I don't know if you saw the tweet they sent out, Logan. If you go to their Twitter,
I got it.
The tweet they sent out was morbid as fuck. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if people just got absolutely wrecked on LN Markets. This is like we didn't come up with Stay Humble Stack Sats on our own. Like, what happened was we weren't humble. And we got wrecked over and over again. And that's where the lifestyle comes from. Like, Bitcoin's a game of survival. You either stay humble or you get humbled. That's the rules of the game.
Yeah. We've got the Dago Hodler. Shout out from Delco. Shout out to all the Delco people in the room. That's where I'm from. Logan, clicking on the quoted tweet. Dear LN Market users, we're seeing all your messages and concerns and the support regarding the liquidations that occurred on October 10th. We will do our best to address them. We need some time for this. You will hear about it this week. The problem was that Binance crashed and it affected our services during 3 minutes to 30 seconds in total between...
33 minutes. They said it weird. They said 30 minutes and 3 minutes, which is fucking 33 minutes.
33 minutes between... 8:57 and 11:20 UTC on October 10th. We did our best to resolve the situation ASAP, and we continue to do so best. And if you go out of the quote tweet, they have a longer sort of explanation, which I'm not going to read on air. But yeah, trusted third parties are security holes, not only in your custody model, but dependencies. If you're building a company, it's something you have to be aware of. And I think... learn a hard lesson. And that's the thing, trading on leverage. To your point, Matt, stay humble, stack sats. Everybody's feeling happy. Everybody thought, like, hey, fall rip. Uptober's here. Get your levered longs on. We're going to Valhalla. And then Bitcoin does an incredible job of humbling anybody who thinks they know what's going to happen. Bitcoin loves to do this. It loves to catch people off sides and ruin their lives if they're not being humble. That happened last week. And this gets to the question, is there manipulation? Saw people in the YouTube chat asking about it. Manipulation is a very loose term. If you're buying and selling, you are manipulating the order book to a certain way. So I don't like the think that manipulation is a good. I think manipulation is a cop out at the end of the day.
Well, I mean, I think it was actually a really prescient episode last week because we were talking about insider trading on Polymarket, and the number one prediction market in the world is actually Bitcoin USD. And also, you know, to a lesser extent, all the other shitcoin markets, right? Like in practice, Bitcoin markets are the freest market we've ever seen in humanity. They trade 24/7, 365 on markets around the globe. When you have free markets without regulation, I think there's real questions around is insider trading really a thing, or is it just something that gets traded into the price of Bitcoin? Like, it's just what it is. It's, you know, you got to take away the bumpers and just realize that most of the time we're just putting Band-Aid on a pig when we're saying there's all these insider trading regulations. Now, if you have a fiduciary responsibility to shareholders, that's one thing. And fraud is another. Like, fraud is a crime.
Well,
but if you're pricing in knowledge that you have on a global liquid money, is that really manipulation? Is that really insider trading? I would argue it isn't. I would argue that just doesn't even exist. It's just participants pricing in their knowledge on a free market. So Stan Hempelstack asks about it.
Yeah. Well, and that's, again, tying the knot in this whole Friday, October 10th crypto massacre. I mean, it seems pretty clear that there's somebody within the Trump administration circle who got out and got word that the tariffs were coming and went and put a big leverage short on the market, made hundreds of millions of dollars. And I think people have traced it back to like a wallet associated with World Liberty Fi. And I want to bring this up to say, like, Donald Trump, just get your sons in order. Like, this is the biggest foot gun. Like, I think this could come back to bite him in the ass if it comes out that World Liberty Fi was a part of this or loosely associated with that big,
yeah, no, I think
profitable short. And it's just like not a good look.
I mean, look, I think in that situation, like, you're breaking your fiduciary responsibility as the president of the United States if insiders are trading something ahead of time. I think if you're a participant of the market, though, it really doesn't matter if someone did that 2 minutes before versus after the tweet went out. Like, the market was going to crash in that direction regardless. I think hopefully we're getting to a place where a single individual can't crash global markets. Like, that is insane that even is a thing. Like, I think as Bitcoin matures, that'll become less of a thing. But yeah, like, I think, like, as the American people, like, if it does get traced back to the fact that the president's family was trading on information of a Truth Social post going out that was obviously going to tank the market, and they knew it, so that's why they shorted it in the first place, there should be repercussions on that side. But also, like, if you have free markets, like, you're not going to be able to stop that. You can have repercussions after the fact, due to certain fiduciary responsibilities, but you're never going to be able to stop it preemptively. This is a brave new world. And to be frank, it's better for humanity that we exist in this proper free market world than, you know, a couple corrupt gatekeepers pretending like the system is fair and equitable. Free markets are the most fair and equitable thing because you don't have any gatekeepers. You don't have anyone who can stop you from trading at will whenever you want.
Yeah. To your point, though, I tweeted this out earlier this week. Love him or hate him, you have to admit that Trump's influence on global markets is unprecedented. The scale of his influence is insane. The last 72 hours made that abundantly clear. Not ideal, but undeniably impressive. I sent that out Sunday night when he flip-flopped and said, hey, Xi had a bad day. We're getting back to the table.
Like all systems are go again. And it's,
well, he waited till right before markets were going to open again.
Yeah. I mean, it's become very predictable. You do something, market close Friday, and then Sunday you come out. It's called the taco. Trump always cops out or chickens out. Trump always chickens out. So that's a taco moment we had last week. But things have progressed. It seems like they've spread beyond Bitcoin and crypto markets. Logan, if you would pull up the newsletter. I mean, that was the big discussion yesterday. Obviously, the price of gold, we haven't mentioned it yet. We've alluded to it, but price of gold has been screaming this week. It's actually coming down from its run right now, but it reached, let me see here. It hit $4,350.60 at some point late last night, currently sitting at $4,308. It's on this generational run. If you zoom out, look at the chart over 50 years.
I think we're still outperforming them over a year basis, over 2 year basis.
Like, I don't think on a year.
I think we are not year to date, but we are on a year.
61%. Let me add Bitcoin. I set up a trading view account. I'm addicted to it now.
No, so Wicked posted this on Noster. 1 year, we're up 81%, and gold is up 52%. That was 4 days ago, but still, like, they haven't caught up in the meantime.
They have. As of right now, gold's up 60.27%. Bitcoin's only up 56.87%. So they've crossed
on the 1 year?
Yeah, on the 1 year.
On the 1 year?
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, we're neck and neck with them. Like, everyone, like... It was always a long game, and the fact that gold market cap is up so much, like if we were to make up what gold has done over the last year, it's like a 5x on Bitcoin. I think the future's bright. Jokes aside, like now would probably be the worst time for you to convert your Bitcoin into gold, unless it's Madex. Go to madex.art to convert into a nice gold chain for gold.
Yeah. Beautiful. Joe Contori tweeted this out yesterday. Gold has added 1.76 Bitcoin market caps in the past 4 weeks, which is pretty crazy to think. Yeah. And this gets to... Yeah,
so now we're at 200,000 Bitcoin.
Yeah, and I wrote a newsletter about this and a tweet about and a note on Noster about this last night. People are like, oh, why isn't Bitcoin pumping? I'm going to call it... Have you seen, you're not on X anymore. But Whale Panda, who...
Allegedly. For many years,
Whale Panda's new name is Whale Pussy. It's Whale Pussy. We're calling him Whale Pussy from now on because he's the most butthurt like person I've ever seen, particularly about Bitcoin in relation to gold. Like it's like you just said, they're neck and neck over the last year. Over the last 5 years, if you zoom out even further, Bitcoin's up like 600%, gold's up 130%. Bitcoin's doing fine. And as it pertains to what's happening with gold, I had Vince Lancey on. I think I mentioned it last week when we were recording RHR, but that episode dropped on Monday, and I think his explanation of what thesis about what's happening is pretty compelling in the sense of like China and the BRICS nations for 15 years been preparing to create an alternative settlement network to SWIFT. And Vince said, particularly post 2008 with the bailouts, apparently China came to the US and said, hey, we're not comfortable with these bailouts. We own a huge amount of US treasuries, and the fact that you're printing this money and bailing out banks and stuffing the money with liquidity doesn't make us comfortable as treasury holders. And Vince said, like, from that moment on, China started looking for alternatives. And if you look at the charts of China's central bank gold accumulation, it really picked up in 2010. And so they've been accumulating gold for 2010. We talked about it about a month ago. The gold on warrant at the Shanghai Gold Exchange has increased exponentially over the last 6 months. And that's a signal that, like, hey, we're going to use the gold for settlement. And I think post 2022, with the freezing of the Russian treasury assets, other BRIC nations were like, okay, we get what you've been saying, China. Maybe we should look at these alternatives. And so it seems pretty clear, at least the thesis with the most teeth is that China and BRICS nations are setting up this alternative settlement network using gold and trading yuan. China buys oil from Saudi Arabia. They pay in yuan. Saudi Arabia takes that yuan, immediately converts it to gold, brings it back. They've set up this vault network across the BRIC nations as well. And
many people are saying, why isn't it Bitcoin? Why isn't it Bitcoin? Well, it's like, because Bitcoin doesn't have the liquidity profile to support all this. So it would make sense that these countries would fall back to gold. It's now $30 trillion market cap. If you want to settle these big
gold
trades,
is lendy.
Very lendy. People are familiar with it. They've already got a bunch of it. And so I think let gold have its moment. Let our gold bugs have their moment. We're philosophically aligned on sound money. But the point is like Bitcoin is just its liquidity profile isn't supported for that. The countries are not going to buy into it. And I think this is what's happening right now. China's basically saying we have this settlement network and they're forcing every other country to get in and bid up the price of gold. How long will it last? Like, I don't know.
Gold is a shitcoin. It's the best shitcoin compared to everything else out there besides Bitcoin. It's going to take years. It's going to take decades for Bitcoin to eat away at gold's first mover advantage. It's been moving for thousands of years. We will get there. I think Bitcoin will continue to outperform gold on any time scale that really matters. 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, Bitcoin's going to outperform. I think people complaining about Bitcoin not having upward momentum while we're sitting over 100K in basically a silent depression should, you know, find some perspective. Bitcoin is doing fucking great. We're in a really solid position. As Marty said, stop being a pussy. I see SoapMiner zapped us 21,000 sats. I will say the Noster homies and the Ride or Die chat seem to be less zap friendly in the mornings. Like they zap more in afternoons, I guess. You know, they're just too tired to send zaps, but SoapMiner zapped 21,000 sats. He said, poured a cup of coffee, found out that you're all wrong. Good morning. And he also asked why I'm drinking beer at 8 a.m. You know, there's not only one time zone in the world. I'm sitting in a bar in Switzerland because RHR must always happen every week. And we're here for you guys. So yes. Even when I'm jet lagged, even when I'm traveling, even before Marty's parent teacher conference, we make sure the show must go on and we're here for you.
It does. And with that, we've got a few other zaps. Sven zap 21,000 sats. The price drop clearly shows that your freedom is your responsibility, not anyone else's. For all you German folks out there, check out my podcast about taking responsibility for your own life. Search on Dein Verantwortung on your favorite podcast app. Stay humble, stack sats. For all you German folks out there, check out my podcast about taking responsibility for your own life. Search Dein Verantwortung on your favorite podcast. Baron
did he zap
on your favorite podcast app? Yes, stay humble, stack sats. And then we had one up above from Lake Surfer. Check out Foise on Noster for Chicago meetup on Sunday, October 19th. We read that out before we forget. Let's just get the fountain boost, and I want to wrap up with what's going on in the banking world here in the United States, because I think it's important to bring up for context, because it looks like we are approaching another liquidity crunch in the banking system. If we go back last week, one boost over 21,000 sats, STIMI, 21,000 sats. Governments are literally willing to incinerate the entire planet by continuing to stockpile nuclear weapons. And Silicon Valley tech bros think they'll just let market forces and AI casually deflate the fiat Ponzi on which it all rests? Good point. And Oscar Mary, I'm just going to read his because it's interesting. And he's the founder of Fountain and has helped us out by setting up our hosting on Fountain. If you're a podcaster, want to host on Fountain. Very interesting discussion on the dynamics of prediction markets / poly market. Hadn't heard this perspective before. Inside trading.
Love
it. Good for the market.
It's something that I've been fascinated with for a while. And it's cool to see prediction markets finally having their day and becoming mainstream. I'm very excited about it. It's important to stay humble, stack sats, but I also enjoy a little degeneracy, betting on outcomes of the world with freedom money. I think it's fucking awesome. And the best way to stay up to date, I see the commoner zapped us 21,000 sats. He says, stay humble, stack sats. As always, the easiest way to participate in our Noster-enabled live stream is by downloading the Primal app in your favorite app store. or going to primal.net on web, I will say we have a lot of big updates coming on Primal that I'm very excited about. But one that we weren't able to ship before this episode is a big update to the streaming client. A lot of little fixes. Marty's been testing it out with us. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. But one update we did ship this week is you can finally remove reposts. You accidentally repost something you didn't want to repost. You just press it again and it removes it from your feed. Really just trying to knock out all the little things. But that was a big one for me because there was a single repost that I did that really fucked up with my OCD on the RHR feed, which I was finally able to remove. So we have that going for us. I'm pretty excited about that.
Sven is saying, Marty, your attempt at the pronunciation was not even close, but I appreciate your effort. I don't speak German, freaks. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you have to give us it phonetically. And we're still going to fuck it up.
Dine, Wern Torgen. I don't know. Going to forget it. But I can hear my kids running. I can hear my mother-in-law coming to watch the kids. Let's get to the banking stuff. Son, I'm live on air. Do you want to say hi to the freaks? Out there. I'll be right up.
Yeah. Not on camera.
The banking stuff. Look, and pull up the bent from last night. For the first time in a while, the standing repo facility is being tapped yesterday and the day before. Collectively for $15 billion, this chart here is showing the spread between the SOFR rate and the Fed's fund rate. That spike into levels not seen since the COVID crisis. Obviously, the Fed has been engaged in quantitative tightening for the better part of 3 years, and it seems like repos dried up, reverse repo. Nobody's giving out money there because the cost of capital isn't appeasing enough, and people are going to the standing repo facility. So they're basically going to JP Morgan saying, hey, I will pay you this much to get your reserves because I need them that bad. And so rates are spiking behind the scenes. on top of that, yesterday we saw a rollover in regional bank stock prices. So it looks like this may be affecting the regional banks, and the stock prices were falling yesterday because it became apparent that the Tricolor auto lender debacle that happened a month or two ago was not isolated. For those who are unaware, Tricolor was giving out subprime loans to illegal immigrants, and with the immigration policy, all of them had to go home and they can't pay their loans, and that created a systemic credit crisis for the lenders associated with Tricolor. That seems to be spreading. JP Morgan and a couple of other banks have had to write down loans of over nine figures on their books. And it seems like the Tricolor subprime underwriting practice was not isolated to them. There are many other regional banks out there that had due diligence processes that were sort of lacking rigor, if you will. And it seems like there is an emerging credit and liquidity crisis in the banking system. And so something to pay attention to in the weeks ahead. It'll be very interesting to see what happens today when markets open in just over an hour, because 2023, try to put yourself back in that timeline, early 2023. Remember how chaotic that was. A great time to stack sats and move it to cold storage. What are you laughing at over there?
No, I said to my wife before we ripped that it was just crazy that we were starting 2 hours before markets open. And then also, like, it's just insane that markets open at 9:30 Eastern time. It's just like so antiquated. It's such antiquated bullshit. Like, you should lose 20% of your net worth while you sleep. That's the future. That's how it's supposed to be. It's just hard for me to grapple with the fact that we're going to end this episode about an hour before markets open. We'll see what happens. Judging by the Bitcoin price, my guess is markets are going to get fucking whacked. And also, huge shout out to all the influencers that decided to join the board of their favorite treasury companies, because you guys are all getting fucking wrecked right now. Maybe not the best career decision. I hope you can sleep with them and look at your kids into the face in 10 years. But yeah, that's what I was, that's what I was laughing at.
It's not looking good out there. MicroStrategy is down below 3. Yeah.
I saw what Metaplanet finally went under 1M now, right?
Hey, had a good run. This is what, back to basics. Back to basics, freaks. Stay humble. Stack sats. This is, it's chaos out there. Could have a liquidity crunch.
I do, but wonder, I will
say, if there is a liquidity crunch, they're going to come in with so much stimulus that way you could see them.
They're going to print like crazy.
Yeah.
No, I've never been more bullish on Bitcoin. I will say that, yeah, I mean, I do wonder that if I hadn't, maybe it's my fault, because if I hadn't deleted my Twitter and I still reminded people to stay humble and stack sats every morning, like maybe we wouldn't have gotten to this place. But anyway, here we are. Everyone needs to take personal responsibility for themselves and try and think long term. Not make quick decisions that they'll regret later. I'm talking about quick decisions that they'll regret later. When Bitcoin was at about 110,000, you might see my child Band-Aid I have on here. I bought a Swiss-made knife. A Swiss-made knife, because I'm in Switzerland. A Klotchley, very sharp. Immediately cut myself. But
how did you immediately cut? Were you like,
store value? No, no. The knife accidentally opened and then I grazed against it and just cut myself because I like holding it on my belt. But I bought it with Bitcoin, which is cool.
Oh, yeah.
How that going?
Can you spend
me?
Bitcoin all over the place there?
Yeah. I mean, Lugano is the, the richest Bitcoin circular economy in the world. You know, like you like go into like Gucci and spend Bitcoin. I feel like all the other circular economies are in the developing world, except for Lugano.
Yeah. The, what was I going to say? Oh, Square. We saw their first point of sale system. Except
oh, Bitcoin, that was huge.
In the wild.
Huge shout out to Miles and Jack and the rest of the team over there. I feel like it's all coming together. They're actually making it happen. Talking about the treasury companies, right? While they were doing that, Block was quietly making a Bitcoin juggernaut, the vertically integrated full stack Bitcoin business.
And they are building a treasury too. They're just creating cash flows and profits that they're then funneling into Bitcoin, you know,
which is how it should be, right? Yeah. Like that's what I'm most bullish on is companies. I mean, if anything, they're a little bit bearish. I think they're taking 10% of their profits and stacking into Bitcoin. Like it should probably be closer to 90%. I mean, like maybe there's a happy medium somewhere between 10% and 90%. So they're a little bit on the low end, but I mean, that's the dream, right? The dream is profitable, efficient, productive businesses stacking to Bitcoin treasuries. And we see that on the private sector all the time with 1031. I mean, Strike is our best example of that. Strike has been profitable for the last 5 quarters, and they just keep stacking to their Bitcoin treasury for the long haul. I think they run like 90%, 95% Bitcoin reserves, and they have like a little bit of float on the dollar side.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. I want to put it in the public ether because he agreed behind the scenes. Miles, somebody I've been trying to get on the pod, I've let him know like, hey, when you're ready, TFTC rip. Seems like he's ready. We're going to be ripping beginning of next
week. Dude, I have a local, that's going to be an awesome rip. Hopefully that's a 3-hour conspiracy fueled episode. You can start like the first half an hour. The first half an hour can just be like what Block is doing on the Bitcoin side and then just like get him going and it'll be a fucking amazing episode. I want to hear about the Nazis under the ice caps. He's a good friend. I have this one beef tallow burger place that does beef tallow fries that uses Square terminals, and I'm incredibly excited to pay with Bitcoin there. It's going to be fucking awesome. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
Never read the live chat.
I am as well. I think I think it's going to be a beautiful thing. 4 million merchants. And that's the thing I wrote end of the newsletter. People are freaking out. Bitcoin price is down. Many people are having existential crises out there. Like, oh, was I right? What's going on? Back to basics. Bitcoin is freedom money. It is a peer-to-peer distributed cash system with geographically distributed hash rate that is using an immense amount of energy to secure the network. We have people building out tech. We talked earlier about Bitcoin for Signal, what the Cashew protocol is doing to bring Bitcoin payments to Signal. And who knows if that ultimately is what they choose or if they ever implement anything, if it's Cashew or whatever. We got Square making it easy for merchants to sweep cash flows into Bitcoin and to accept Bitcoin as payment. We've got a number, you mentioned Strike. Strike's making it easy to get on and off Bitcoin. If you want to get off, you can use your Bitcoin to lend against, you can lend against your Bitcoin to get cash. The product services are getting better. And I ended the newsletter is like, if you're bearish on Bitcoin right now, ask yourself these questions. Do you think governments are ever going to print more money? Do you think governments are ever going to become, are ever going to freeze people's bank accounts and stop them from sending money again? Do you think censorship is going to rise? Do you think people are going to get tired of paying credit card companies 4% for fees? If the answer is yes to any of those questions, then there are going to be more Bitcoiners in the world and adoption is going to increase. Bitcoin is far superior across all those facets. It's scarce. It's divisible. You can send it over the internet relatively cheaply. And there is extreme value in those properties. And people will recognize that. Bitcoin's not dying.
My answer is yes to all those questions. Onward. Stay humble, stack sets.
Peace and love, freaks. Okay.